handout anybody need a handout for today? Anybody need a handout for today? Everybody's got them? Okay. We'll start at John 15. Today is faith, a friend worth having. You know, Christ-like character is a development process, beginning with and establishing a relationship with Jesus. And the message comes very clear, very loud and clear to us, is that Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. So he's not only a friend worth having, but he's also a friend who's heard about you, and he wants to be close to you. Now, to start off, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say this. The highlight of my week was this. The highlight of my week was this. Ready to go. Okay, what's your highlight of this week, Ben? Being here? Okay. What's your highlight of this week?
My wife was working. She's got a special meeting for kind of a birthday dinner for her grandson's got a new job, and we're going to have a whole bunch. And she's worked very hard to set that up. I mean, she does this. This is her lifestyle.
Okay. Being a family
working event. Working hard.
Being with family. Okay. What else? Highlight of the week was? Okay, now I don't know what that is. What is that?
Oh,
flower.
Okay, went to see flowers. Okay. Now, how about the low light of your week? What's the low light of your week?
I can accomplish all my goals.
What's the low light of your week, Ben? That's maybe harder to share. All right, now suppose you're at dinner and you had to choose between two people to go to dinner with. Now, the first person is very warm and caring and loving and has a genuine interest in others. And this person listens to every word that you have to say. And it's fun to be around. And everybody wants to be friends with this person. So that's person number one. The second person who invites you to go to dinner is distant. And they're demeaning. And they keep most of their friends at a distance. And the only time that this person calls you is when they need something. You know somebody like that? You never know really where you stand with this second person. And although that the second person may be influential, it's probably not the one that you would choose to go to dinner with. So which friend would you rather go to dinner with, person one or person two? I think the answer is obvious, right? Now today, many people are confused about who Jesus really is. Who is this guy? To some people, Jesus is like that second person that I described. He's distant. He really doesn't care or have an interest in what you're doing. To be sure, Jesus hears prayers, but is he really the kind of friend that you would want to have? Now, what are some necessary components to building a relationship with Jesus? That's what we're going to look at. All right, John 15. I want you to see first why we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Point number one is because he has chosen us. John 15, look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So, why did Jesus choose the 12 that he chose? Why did he choose that particular group of 12 disciples? You ever thought about that? I mean, he could have chosen anybody to follow him, but he chose that particular 12. Now, when the Lord calls us into a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Himself, every believer is a branch of a vine. That talks about that in Scripture. And a branch that bears fruit is a branch that will last forever. Any gardeners here? You know, you prune back things, and I remember, and I'm not that kind of person, you know, but I remember having someone come prune our shrubbery. And it looked like there had been murder committed, you know. And I said, surely I need to stop you from what you're doing. But when it came time to bloom, I mean, there are just all these blooms that come out, right? Jesus made the choice to allow us to be in His kingdom. He made the choice to die for us. And He died for who? Everybody. Yeah, He died for everybody. Now we as believers make the next choice to either accept Him or to reject Him. Yes, ma'am.
The verse, maybe you're told, you were told, I just never understood that.
Hold that thought. Hold that, okay? Who makes the choice? Who makes the choice? We do, okay? Many are called, but few are chosen, okay? Means that few, like not everybody makes the choice. That's what that means. When I was watching my father die very slowly, I began to study the book of Revelation, and you come upon this verse which says the name will be blotted out of the book of life. You ever read that before? And my eyes just penetrated that verse, and I began to think about the old whiteout. You remember the whiteout? You know, in fact, that's how you can tell a Mississippian has made a mistake on their computer. There's whiteout on the screen. I can say that because I'm a Mississippian. But I looked at blotted out, the name blotted out. If the name had been blotted out, that meant that the name was there originally. The name was there originally. How could it be blotted out if it wasn't there? So we make the choice. Now, some of us are quick learners, and others of us have been slow learners in our relationship with Christ, haven't we? Okay? There's a brand of people that are remedial Christians. They just move very, very slowly into that relationship with Christ. And I heard an old preacher say this, and I'll never forget it. He was preaching about the whole armor of God. You know, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, sword, you know, which is our Bible, the helmet of salvation. And he said this, unfortunately, there will be some believers who make it into heaven who will not be fully dressed. They will only have put on the helmet of salvation. They will have never put on the breastplate of righteousness. They will have never picked up the shield of faith. They will have never done the sword. You know, they will have never put on the shoes of spreading the gospel. Not be fully dressed. I never forgot it. Many believers, and you may have been a product of the old hell, fire, and damnation, or brimstone sermons, right? You know. And I remember as a teenager, you know, listening to my pastor preach, and I've already been saved. You know, why do I need to keep? You know what I mean? Why do I need to keep doing this? You know? But many believers came into this relationship with Christ, if nothing more than just to have a fire insurance policy. Okay? So the choice is made by the individual, either accepting or rejecting. So what kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ? Do you picture Jesus as a reluctant servant or an intimate friend? Do you know what He commands? What does Jesus command us to do? What's one thing He commands us to do?
Love one another.
Spread the gospel. Bear fruit.
How will you know What are the marks of a true disciple? If you love one another. If you love one another. Do you know what Jesus wants to do in the world? What does Jesus want to do in the world? He wants other people to experience that love. He wants other people to know who He is. And do you know how Jesus thinks? He wants you to be familiar with what He knows about the Father. He wants you to know what He knows about the Father. Now, turn to Romans. It's a great question. Thank you for asking that. Romans 5:8 is the next scripture I want you to look at. Romans 5:8. It's a good Bible drill verse. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, at your table, discuss this. What's amazing about that verse right there? What's so amazing about Romans 5:8? What say you? What's so amazing about that verse? The conditions on God. What else? What else? What's so amazing about that verse? We're all sinners. What else? The love of God.
The demonstration.
Yeah, demonstration of God's love that Jesus died for us. Okay. Now, how many of us were good enough for Jesus to die for us?
Nobody.
See, God didn't send Jesus to die for us because we were good enough, but because He loved us. Because He loved us. Whenever you feel as if you don't know if God loves you or not, you should remember that He loved us even before we turned to Him. He loved us before we even knew about Him. If God loved us when we were rebels, He can certainly love us now, right? He can certainly love us now. How do you know God loves you? Because Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. So, He has chosen us. Number two, God wants to spend time with us. Back to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 3. You have to use your Bibles today. Yes.
I didn't use today.
You had it last week.
Yeah, spoiled you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
One, two.
Yes. John 17, verse 3. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, what does eternal life mean?
Eternal.
Forever? Knowing Jesus? What else?
Eternal life as opposed to eternal death.
Good. Eternal life as opposed to eternal death. Very good. It's the opposite. Eternal life is the opposite of eternal death. Very good. Eternal life means that we can experience God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Having that personal knowledge of that eternal God. And the God we know is the only true God. Amen?
Amen.
It's not a man-made religion. It's not something that's a feel-good. I heard no preacher say, if you're looking for Christianity to make you feel good, you've chosen the wrong avenue.
But I have written that this is the true Lord's Prayer. That He's praying this. And, I mean, to me, that really makes that jump a lot, you know, more. Because He's saying, I've done it. You know, He granted me authority and did all this, and now this is so they can know You.
Good. So that they can know You.
Because Jesus is praying for Himself, but praying for us as well in this prayer.
Now, I want everybody to take a deep breath, ready? And just relax. Just relax, okay? Because I feel like there's some heaviness here. You know, And just relax. Okay? Just relax. There'll be no test at the end of the lesson. There are no final exams. Okay? There are no final exams. All right? So, he wants to, he has chosen us. God wants to spend time with us. Number three, God will never leave us. Matthew 1:23. Camp out in Matthew for a second. Matthew 1:23. God will never leave us. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Matthew 28:20. You probably know this one by heart. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I am with you until the end of the age. Now, turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell your neighbor, what was your nickname growing up? Ready, go. What was your nickname growing up? Ready, go.
William.
We're going to see some true colors come out. Yeah. Okay, who's willing to share that answer? Who's willing to share the okay, Jill?
I had two. My dad called me Princess and my mom called me Moose.
Princess and Moose. All right, and is there an explanation there that you wish to share?
I was extremely skinny, so she called me Moose. And I had skinny, long legs like a moose does.
Okay. Eric. Melvis. Melba Jenny, because she's from East Texas. Okay.
John Wayne.
Was a tomboy. Okay. John Wayne for a tomboy. Okay.
Nobody ever tomboy.
Anybody else has the courage? Okay, what was Jesus' nickname? What was Jesus' nickname?
Messiah.
We just read it. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, that's right.
Emmanuel. What is given, was Jill, was Moose your given name, by the way? It's not on your birth certificate. Okay. Emmanuel is not on Jesus's, if he had a birth certificate. Okay? So it's not the name that he was given at birth. It's just a name that described who he is. You see that? So some of our nicknames described, there's been some good examples here, that described who we were growing up. You see that? Emmanuel means what? God with us. Now, somebody else many centuries ago predicted that he would be named Emmanuel. Isaiah the prophet predicted that. So here is Jesus, God in the flesh. God in the flesh. You can reach out and touch him. Okay, literally God with us. He would never bear the name Emmanuel, but rather that's the name that described his role, God with us. Where is Jesus right now? He is with us. He is with us. Okay? He had a human body. He got hungry. He got angry. He, you know, got tired. Just like we do, but he was still God. God with us. He was brought to earth to be with us. And Matthew closed his gospel in the same way. God with us. He began it, God with us. He closed it, God with us. I'm with you to the very, very end. And I don't think even Isaiah understood the meaning of Emmanuel when he was led, inspired to write that. So God with us. Number four. God gave us His Son. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you may know that by heart, but I want you to turn to John 3:16. Look at it. John 3:16. Now, I want you, we're all going to read this out loud. Doesn't matter what translation you have. Okay? We're all going to read it out loud. Now, does everybody's Bible have the world in it? Okay? All right? Everybody's Bible has the world. When you get to the world, you're going to read this out loud. Instead of saying the world, I want you to say your first name. Ready? Go.
God so loved him that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have.
Now, how did that verse take on a whole new meaning for you? You see how personal it made it? For God so loved John. For God so loved Moose. For God so loved John Wayne. I personally think God did love John Wayne. You see how personal it makes it? You see how personal it makes it? If you ever have the opportunity to share Christ with someone and you land on that verse, have them reread it and put their name in it. It takes on a whole new connotation with them. You mean God loved me? Yes, he did. He loved, not only did he love you, look what he did. He sent his Son so that whoever believes will not perish. There's that eternal life. Now, the entire gospel comes to focus in this one verse. God's love, according to this verse, is not just for a certain group of individuals. It's for who? The world. It says it. It says it. The world. God's love is not static. It's not self-centered. It reaches out to everybody. Here, God's actions describe the true love, the basis for all love relationships. When you love somebody, and you think about the family members that you love, you sacrifice everything for them, don't you? Some of us have even had family members that are unlovable, but we still love them, don't we? We still love them. The timing of that love is highlighted back in that verse in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sacrificial love is also putting the needs of somebody else in front of your own. God did that. God put our needs in front of his needs by sacrificing his one and only Son. In this case, God's love in sending Jesus Christ was infinitely practical, since it set out to rescue us from having really no hope. And God paid a big price for us. God paid a big price for us, giving his only Son to die for us. Now, some of the translations have the phrase only begotten. You have that? Some of the translations have only begotten. That means Jesus had a unique position as being God's only Son. Any only childs in the room? Yeah. That unique position of being the only child in a family. We have an only child, you know. And I can tell you, she was and still is unique. She is unique. Now, see, the offer is made to whoever believes. There's the choice. There's the choice that's made. It's more than just an intellectual agreement, isn't it? And I heard an old preacher say that a lot of people miss heaven by the distance between their head and their heart, you know, 12 inches. Because they believe it here, but they don't accept it in their heart. When you have that belief, that's an undeniable trust and confidence in God sending Jesus Christ, who alone can save us. Alone. Nobody else. It's more than just trusting in his words. It's relying on the strength that only he can give us. So Jesus willingly accepted the punishment for our sins. He willingly paid the price for our sins that we wouldn't perish. But it says in here that we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. Okay. Take that deep breath again. It's okay. I'm John. I'm your friend here. Okay. Point number 5, God gave us a book. God gave us a book. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now before, let's Would you read this section here, 16? 1 Peter 1:16. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear.
You don't have the right verse.
For you know that it was not with perishable things. Oh,
you don't have the right verse.
I'm sorry. Thank you. You know, I was there. I was in 2 Peter, and I thought it was 1 Peter, wasn't it? My apologies. 2 Peter 16. We did not, thank you for pointing that out to me. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we were told about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is My Son, in My love, with Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, at your table, why don't you discuss this question. Why is the Bible so important for our relationship with God? Why is the Bible so important for our relationship with God? Ready to go.
Our way is not His way, our way is not His way. To get to know what He left us to know.
Okay, what say you? What say you? Why is the Bible so important for our relationship with God?
To know His will.
Tells us how to be saved, Stephen.
To know His will and His ways. Because our ways are not His ways.
Our ways are not His ways. It's our guide. What else? Yes, you read a passage that you've read before, but it can take on a whole different meaning. I mean, I've done this. Where's that verse been my whole life? You know, because it takes on a whole different meaning. You know, it's like Pastor used this illustration several weeks ago. If you're going to drive from Dallas to Canada. Today you use GPS, okay? You use your navigator, you know, but in olden days you had a map, right? You got out a map and you followed the map, okay? Well, the Bible is our map. The Bible is a map, okay? Steve?
Yes, may I say something? Yes, the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth.
That's good.
I like that. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. I like that.
And if we don't read it, we don't know our destination. You know, it's our future is all in there. We just got to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning. That's what I feel that's come to me. That, you know, now that I'm acknowledging, my horizons are expanding.
Very good. Now, how does Peter feel? Yvonne, go ahead.
It's also to know God.
To know God.
Personally.
Personally. Now, how does Peter relate to what in this passage that we read? What is Peter's opinion of the Old Testament prophets? What's Peter's opinion?
He wants to witness of everything.
They were pointing the way to Jesus.
Yeah. Peter was a witness, okay. But what does he think about the Old Testament prophets?
They were pointing the way to Jesus.
Yeah, they pointed the way to Jesus. Peter was one of the few eyewitnesses of Jesus.
Okay.
The prophets were pointing the way to Jesus. And Peter puts himself in a category that he, because of his eyewitness account, he was able to proclaim the truth. But this is, the Bible is God's own words through human beings. You see that?
Amen.
God's words through human beings. It's the authority. Not only Peter is an eyewitness, but it's the God-inspired authority of Scripture. All right? Number six, God gave us His Spirit. John 16. John 16. John 16, verse 13. But when He, who's that? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. So what's other, according to this verse, what's another word for the Holy Spirit? Spirit of truth. Okay, now, some other descriptive terms of the Holy Spirit. Comforter. What's another term? Paraclete. What's another term that describes? Yeah, those are all correct. What's some other words that describe the Holy Spirit? This is a bonus question, okay? What's some other words that describe the Holy Spirit?
Revealer.
Redeemer.
Revealer.
Counselor.
He reveals God to us.
Reveals God.
Jesus.
Okay. Good.
A nickname is Tattletale.
Tattletale. How is the Holy Spirit a tattletale? He tells everything. I'm going to write that in my Bible.
I always thought that was a bad thing.
Yeah. A tattletale in a good way. In a good way. I like that. You see, the Holy Spirit is a navigator. He guides us. And Jesus, to use the map illustration, He gives us a reliable map that we now can follow. Jesus has also given us His time. You see, the original disciples had all this time to absorb what Jesus was telling them. Now we have His Holy Scripture, and we have the rest of eternity, the rest of our time on earth, and the rest of eternity to absorb Scripture. So, our knowledge can no longer be limited. Instead, we trust through this navigator the way that we point to Christ. Let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us a friend indeed through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that every day our relationship with Jesus Christ would go stronger and stronger, and that we take what we learn and tell others about it. And we ask this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.